Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
We are in our new studio.
Yay! Everybody, welcome to Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. And we're coming to you live from deep inside the King Studio.
The King Studio.
Right.
The King's small
intestines. Which happens to be in your intestine. It happens to be in your colon. It is. BB King is in your colon. We actually have a new studio again, thanks to Charles. Thanks to Charles Martone, Dr. Charlie. He set us up here in the garage. And there happens to be a beautiful, it's not any garage though, is it? It's a workshop.
Yeah.
It's a workspace.
There's stuff happening here.
Yeah. So in this workspace is this beautiful painting of BB King. And I can't remember who.
It was a client of Charlie's, I remember.
Client,
yeah.
But he's actually kind of famous. He's a local artist, and I'll remember what that artist's name is.
I'm going to go look at it right now.
Okay,
one sec.
Look at it. But so it's kind of cool. There's a lot of new things happening with the new year, as it is January 2nd here while we're recording this.
It looks like Rev Searle. CERL.
Oh, I should text Charlie. Since we're going to mention him, we really should mention him.
It really is an extraordinary piece of art because it's not a small painting. This is large. It's got to be like 3 feet by five.
Yeah, it's big.
It's big and it's beautiful. Well done. So in this studio, we have that, and we have also another picturesque painting.
That's from IKEA.
Well, it's a nice forest with dense fog.
Yeah, it is. I like it.
And we're surrounded by toolboxes and storage bins and workout mats and
luggage
and
a sauna
and
electric bikes. And let's not forget the new addition to the familia. Yes, we gave in and we got a puppy. We did. Oh my gosh.
Not me. I'm not part of that puppy deal.
Well, you are sort of, because you'll be puppy sitting. Her name is actually Dita. Dita von Tickles. Dita von Tickles.
Dita von Tickles?
Yeah.
Von Tickles.
Von Tickles. She's Dita von Tickles because she has a lot of luxurious curls that are very sexy, and she's got a big fat rump, and she shakes it and bounces it like she's twerking, and it's hilarious. And you know who Dita is, right? Dita Von Teese?
Nope.
Oh, she was married to Marilyn Manson. She's a current day, modern day pinup stripper. She does, fan dances, and she was transported here from the late 1940s, early 1950s. And she's this beautiful, very, very pale skin, porcelain skin, red lips, long black
hair. And wears a lot of black. So
a lot of black.
Big contrast.
I wouldn't even say goth, but, because her style is very much the 50s. But when she was with Marilyn Manson, she definitely took a dark turn, I thought, in her look. But anyway, needless to say, I knew her for a little bit. And she's very cool. And she's a great performance artist. And very sexy in a sort of classy way, like an old style stripper sort of way. And this dog this dog doesn't like to be tickled. So naturally, Dita von Tickles. That's how we came.
The opposite. You're doing the opposite.
The opposite.
Yeah, the opposite.
Dita. And then, of course, we decided she's probably German. So we say Dita von Tickles. Dita von Tickles! Anyway, she likes it so far. She wouldn't respond to anything. We had a list of like 20 names that we were just messing with.
She's 8 weeks. I'm sure she likes many things so far.
She responds really well to shoestrings, we've noticed. And guess what she's eating already? Well, you saw what she ate for lunch. The same thing you did. Which was?
Which was eggs, beef, bone broth with broccoli and
it was grass-fed and finished.
You do make great lunches,
which, by the way, thank you.
I don't do with this podcast just for the podcast. I come over for the lunches. Folks, that's the truth.
Well, I'm flattered. You bring over all your equipment.
I just want to be fed
and go through the editing and the production just so you can be fed. Yes, well, anyway, so we started her. She had this crazy smell to her when we got her. It was like not the typical puppy smell that you would think, like that sweet, cute puppy smell. It was this weird smell. And I knew it was because they were already feeding her kibble in addition to Mama's. She was still nursing. And so we, right away, I just started giving her raw food and just homemade, you know, and bone broth. And already she smells better. You know, it just takes a little bit of time.
It just takes time to feed the microbiome. You're giving the microbiome a little nutrients to grow.
Yes. Colostrum. We're giving her colostrum and kefir. She eats better than
She's going to make a great, great candidate for healthiQ.com, I think.
That's
Don't
true.
You agree?
Well, indeed, because this podcast is brought to you by healthiQ.com/stuff.
Stuff.
And, you know, for those of you that don't know about Health IQ, it's an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners and cyclists and weightlifters and vegetarians and people who eat grass-fed and finished beef get lower rates on their life insurance. So you should go to healthiq.com/stuff and to support the show and also see if you qualify, right? Because you can
get a free quote.
Yep. Take these little quizzes and see exactly how healthy you are.
And they're going to know. I was taking that quiz. And
it's some hard. Of
those questions are not just like, oh, do you eat healthy food? Yes, no. No, you have to be in that world to know, answer these questions right.
Yeah, they're definitely only people who are health-minded, health-oriented would know the answers to these questions, and you don't have time to Google it.
Right.
Yeah. It's really fun.
Or if you do, they'll know. They'll know. It's there's a timer on each question.
Yeah, it's cool.
It is kind of cool. I was I'm taking the test going, oh, wow, these are interesting questions, and I was getting them right because I wouldn't have known if I wasn't in that frame, in this world, in that kind of the frame of mind.
Yeah. For sure. Like the, you know, 20 year ago me would not have passed that quiz at all.
there you go.
But you know.
But today you'd probably get a free insurance.
I know they would be paying
be like,
me.
Pay, yeah, that right.
Yeah,
paying you.
They'd be like, "Don't worry about it. We're just going to pay you. You're so healthy and you're so good at this stuff."
This is great. This is like we actually have a sponsor on the show, and it's exciting
because I
love talking about it because you know we talked about why we would only do it with products and you know, businesses that are in line with what we talk about,
right?
So to kind of get that, and you know, it's an exciting thing. It's like we got a new car.
Exactly. And you know, we also right, so we do have some other sponsors that we're not going to do all today because we're in the works with this stuff, but it's really fun. It's fun stuff that, you know, we talk about a lot, like, you know, coffee enemas maybe and stuff like that, and different, you know, superfoods that we put in our food. I can't give too much away, but I just did. But
and we're glad to give it to you, and I hope everyone really appreciates it.
Yeah,
sees the value in it.
Right. Indeed. So again, if you want to check and see if you qualify for lower rate, go to healthiq.com/stuff and see if you qualify. It's exceptionally cool, and we were saying before that you can use any of your race results from like a triathlon that you did, or you know, you can use your Fitbit and all those millions of stairs that you climbed this year and whatnot. This year, it's January 2nd. So all of that stuff matters, and finally, someone cares besides just you, and that's healthiq.com/stuff.
Love it.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today, Kat?
I'm not sure. But I know we're in this new studio. it's not nearly as nice as Ileana's studio, which we will use again someday soon. And but we do have my sauna. And I wanted to tell you, you know, I've always been a fan of infrared sauna. And I've been, you know, I'd read some information, some research a while back, years ago, like probably 10 years ago, maybe even more, when I met Charlie about the benefits of infrared sauna, and it was enough for us to invest in one back then. And then, you know, we wore that one out quite literally. It was like I used it so much, and we also had it in our practice back then, so clients would use it. And so now we got a new one, as you know. It's not new, but it's newer, and it's a clear light sauna, and it is the nicer one. It's a two person, but it's a I forget what. It's just one of the nicer ones. Nicer, by nicer, I mean it, more expensive. And it's like hypoallergenic wood, and it's low EMFs.
We got to take pictures of this and just put it online. She's going to put it on her Instagram, right?
Okay.
You want to do that?
Okay. And it uses like one light bulb of electricity.
I don't believe that because there's light bulbs on it.
I know, but right? those only work when you turn it on, when you turn those on. So I don't even use those light bulbs.
Electricity, that's amazing.
But the actual ceramic heaters that are in there only use one light bulb of electricity, as if a light switch was on.
Right.
But besides that, there's like a handful of things that I contribute to my health, the way that I progressed in my life. You know, I went home for the holidays, as you know. For Christmas, and my mom loves reminding me how sick I used to be, you know.
This is my daughter. Oh my God, she was so sick. She would have to take a crutch to school. We'd have to put bandage all over her head, and you know,
I wasn't Tiny Tim.
She had a little drum she'd beat while she was walking.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us all, everyone.
Well, she loves to remind me about how sick I was, and not in a bad way. She's just really happy that I'm not that sick, although I did get a little head cold when I was there. And what was my point? Oh, so I really – it reminds me how far I've come with my health when I think about all the things – so there's a handful of things that I have done in my life that have made me – flourish, you know, that have really taken my life to my health to like the next level, where I'm not getting sick every time the seasons change, and where I'm not allergic to everything and histamine reactions to everything and food allergies to, I mean, you name it, you get the picture. And one of those things is the infrared sauna. So when we got it, I would do it like twice a week for about 40 minutes or so, and not too hot. I think it was probably around 125 degrees Fahrenheit. And so that's a long time to be in 125 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, for an hour or 45 minutes or so. But it was amazing. And I would do dry scrubbing while I was in there. You know what that is? So dry scrubbing.
You mean like a loofah sponge?
Kind of. You take a particular type of, you know, abrasive, but not too abrasive, brush or loofah. And you just do these circular motions towards the heart. And Dr. Marshall used to say, especially under the butt crease, because apparently that's a really fatty area that heavy metals tend to gather.
You mean where the back of the hamstring and the gluteus maximus kind of meet?
Yeah, butt crease.
Butt crease.
Not the butt crack, which is a crease per se.
Right. No, if you see it on people who are tan, you're like that one line that goes across.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Where the Daisy Dukes.
I'm not always looking in that area, folks. It's just I remember seeing that.
Well, you wouldn't be human if you didn't. Right. So I forgive you. But
well, now I know. So when I'm looking, I'll be like, oh, that's the aggregate point of metal coagulation.
Metal collection.
You got a lot of metal in your butt, Chris. You might want to go do a detox.
You might want to scrub that shit. Stuff. So I get in there and I'm like scrubbing that area like it looks like I've been spanked for an hour.
Jeez. You know?
And anyway, it works. I had really high levels of metal, different metals in my body for some weird reason, doing a hair analysis, very high levels, stuff that shouldn't be in my body, you know, like uranium. What the heck? It makes you think that there are such things as chemtrails, because how the heck did uranium get in my system? It's so weird. So,
Didn't you live in New Mexico? So you have Sandia. What is it? Sandias?
There's Sandia National Labs. There's a lot of labs.
Probably
there.
Had a little uranium in your water supply.
You're probably right. I mean, I would not I wouldn't even joke about that.
There were some blasts in nuclear tests in that area, so it wouldn't be
the only place on the North American continent.
It wouldn't be out of the ordinary. You have some other chemical radioactivity in you.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, but it's probably true. So anyway, I did that. I did so that the sauna was one of the things that really transformed my health. Also, I had this thing, I think we've talked about this, where I just never used to sweat. Like, my hands and my feet were the only parts of my body that would sweat. I'd go to yoga and barely break a sweat. It was the weirdest thing, no matter what I did. It was strange. And I thought it was kind of cool at first, and then I started to learn more about health and realize that's a serious problem, like a real serious problem. Yeah, it's one of our detoxification methods is to actually sweat through the skin. And do you need me to get closer? So then, sweating is important. And I just wasn't sweating. And my mom as well, she's like, I never sweat. Like, ew. And I'm like, guess what? That's bad. So.
I always heard when growing up, now that I think about it, that men sweat, women perspire was the kind of, that's what I heard growing up.
Right.
That it's just, women don't really sweat.
Right.
So it seems normal, right?
They do.
And
you can call it what you want, but they're supposed to. We're human beings should sweat. And or perspire,
same,
call,
right?
Whatever
yeah.
you want, right? But yeah, it is kind of like, especially back in the 50s, kind of like, my mom would, like, it's not ladylike to sweat. Like, you do everything you can to not have sweat stains on your shirts and stuff like that back then.
Yeah, it's more of a sociological thing than a physiological, because if you're doing hard labor, just as a man is in the hot sun, you're going to be dripping sweat like a man, right?
That's the thing that I'm saying is I think that my sweat glands and my lymph were just very, very, very sluggish. And so, and that's the reason I'm telling this part of the story is because when I started using the sauna, it's like after a good 6 months of that, maybe more, I should have kept track. It's not the case now. Now I sweat like a normal person. Now I break a sweat, fairly easily when it's under normal conditions. And in the sauna, it would take me 30 minutes before I started sweating, which is partly why I would stay in there for so long. Now, the second that temperature gets up to in the 70s, I'm already starting to break a sweat. So it's important to sweat, yeah. And I think that was something, we've talked about detoxification before a lot in this podcast, and it's very important to encourage the body's own detoxification processes. And one of the very safe and healthy ways to do that is saunas, and not just infrared, dry saunas, wet saunas, and the like.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I'm a big proponent of, wet sauna. Well, no, dry sauna. No, dry sauna.
That's an infrared.
That's
dry.
Infrared.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the Hot Rocks sauna downtown.
Right, you were talking about this with the Russians.
I love it. Yeah, it's a Russian spa.
And they smack each other with banyan tree
yes.
branches.
And they're up there, oh my God, don't you, and it's that scream, ah, ooh. And everyone's in there laughing because it's quite a show. You're in there, the guys are, they're at this, it's a three-tiered sauna. It's two ovens that open up. It's like 190 degrees. And when you walk in, you're like, oh, wow, this is great,
Uh-huh.
And you got to be careful. You can't put your keys on you, the little locker key, because it'll burn you.
Right.
Yeah. And, you can't go in there barefoot because you'll burn your feet.
Wow.
So,
How long can you take it in there?
I can, 15 minutes max. And I like to do it where I'm just feeling like I'm about to pass out.
Well, let me tell you some interesting information about saunaing. So there was some great research done, and they found that when men, they took like 2,000 men and they did this study on sauna usage, just regular, what you're talking about, dry sauna, not infrared. And it was 2 to 3 times a week lowered the all-cause mortality rate in these men, 24%.
Lowered the what?
All-cause mortality.
All-cause.
All-cause, meaning everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, anything you could be susceptible that could kill you, except
wow,
like a
that's
bullet
impressive.
To the head. Meaning, any kind of physical ailment, physical disease, illness, imbalance. It lowered it by 24%. Men that did it four to seven times a week, it lowered all-cause mortality rates 40%. When I heard this, I was like, hold the phone, rewind, right? And I had to write it all down so just so I could share that. And I'm glad we brought it up today with the sauna in here, because how awesome is that?
That really is.
Shocking. That's... And I'm talking about they were checking blood pressure. They were checking, you know, everything you can think of in regards to, well, all cause, right?
You know,
Let me say one more
stat. You could say more things, yes.
60%. It lowered 60%, these same men. 4 to 7 times a week lowered the cases of Alzheimer's by 60%. Amazing. So, and that was...
Get yourself into a sauna.
Mm-hmm. And that was at 174 degrees Fahrenheit for 20 minutes, okay? It has to be for 20 minutes. It can't be less than 20 minutes. It has to be at least 20 minutes in a regular sauna. So what does that correlate to in an infrared sauna? I'm trying to find out what those numbers are, but right now, because infrared saunas don't go as high. My infrared sauna only goes to like 158 or something like that. So you have to stay in longer would be my guess. But it's still really good for you. And infrared has benefits that dry saunas don't have, like, you know, the caloric burning and things like that. Also, I think it probably has a lot to do with the secretion of toxins in the skin, because it heats you from the inside out, you know, pushes things from the depths of your layers of skin out, as opposed to dry saunas just on you. And the way the dry sauna works, this was fascinating, is it creates what's called heat shock proteins, which is basically just a way of stressing the body for a little while, but not too much and not chronically, just enough to elicit a healing response. And Charlie was like, that is so fascinating. It's kind of like working out and tearing your muscles to build them, or any kind of...
Well, Wim Hof has the same reasoning behind it. You shocking it with cold. To elicit a response.
Those are cold shock proteins, I think they're actually called. So it's just basically a type of stress.
Right.
But not a lot of stress. Not like we're thinking chronic stress, oh my God, I'm going to kill my neighbor and all day you're pissed or your boss.
It's like a sweet spot of stress your body wants.
It's like a zip. Or can deal it's with. Like a, yeah. And
tells you a lot about the body. We really do. And I get this recurring information that stress in our lives is actually a good thing, because whether you... Even if it's just even personal stuff or work stuff, those little stresses, what they do is they challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
They alter one's path, and you take on the challenges to overcome, find problems to solutions. And what do? You're expressing the best part of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. Isn't it fascinating?
About that. Yeah, I love that, especially here with the new year, because one of my New Year's resolutions was kind of like just to pay close attention to detail and to be patient about stress, you know, like it's okay. It really is okay. You know, one of the reasons I didn't want to get another dog was because how out of control worried I get about people and animals and stuff. And it's been a little bit of a test because we've only had her for 3 days. And, you know, when she's crying for some reason, I'm just telling myself, like, it's okay. Like, don't, you know, because the type of stress that we're talking about with the sauna and whatnot, that's one kind of stress. But chronic stress is not good. That is like ongoing chronic stress, which can be from, you know, work related and relationship related, financially related, those kind of stresses. And also, let's not forget what we talked about a few podcasts ago, toxicity. Like, that's a stress, you know, like the toxic burden, bad food and alcohol. Did you know that alcohol doubles the excretion of magnesium in the body? It doubles how much you would normally.
I believe it. I think alcohol is probably the worst thing one you can ingest. And even when I'm drinking,
mm-hmm.
and the next day I go, this is just not good. But you know, the thing is, it's so readily available, and you're being bombarded with this constant advertising. It's on TV. It's in movies. Everyone's
always
not
on commercials, though.
No, not in commercials, but every TV show.
Not hard liquor, but beer still is.
Oh yeah, sure, right. I mean, beer commercials.
No, it is hard liquor. Like, what's his name?
Captain
Morgan.
Captain Morgan, and what's her name? Which was doing the Jack Daniels.
Right, you're right. What
so
am
they're
I
all
thinking?
Over the place.
Okay, so
don't interrupt my train of thought again.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so, and I catch myself challenging about that social norm is getting together and having a drink, because mm-hmm. what do? We kind of do that. And I always wonder, what if there was no alcohol, if we had lived in society that said, this is kind of the worst thing you should be drinking?
We'd probably do blow.
I wasn't going to that extreme. I was going to go – wow, I blew that out. I was going to go say, what would we drink? We can't – well, we have carrot juice bars. Anyway, the point being is that soda water. It's true. There's something that does come with alcohol and socializing. But the thing with alcohol, and this is something that I have to contend with, it's just next, I have a drinking problem. I'm mentioning this is because it has to be just done in such moderation. Really, the moderation thing.
What? No, I agree.
But,
I mean,
but you gotta just. It seems as if it's something that needs to be done very, very sparingly.
Sparingly.
Yeah, sparingly.
So wait a minute. That brings me to my next question. How is your dry January going?
Did I commit to a dry January? Well, like I said to you, it didn't start off well if I woke up with a hangover. That's not dry January. I had a moderate hangover yesterday, which was moving day. And I went, this is not the best way to, when you're creating New Year's resolutions, waking up hungover is not the way to start it.
No,
man.
It's not good. It's bad. It gives you an idea of how your year is going to be. No, just kidding.
No, right. Yeah, you don't want that to set the tone for the whole year. So I had to be aware of that. But I wanted to kind of go back and say something that.
Yeah.
A mantra that I've been attempting to run within my dialogue, self-dialogue, mm-hmm. is we're here to solve problems. We're here to solve problems. Problems, find solutions. Like, that's something that I've been looking at in my life. Mm-hmm. Instead of being reactive and being sort of taken down by these issues that may have come up in life, whether it be moving, job, all sorts of things that I've had different reactions to.
Right.
I've kind of taken this mantra like, no, you're here. What if you're here to solve all the problems that come your way? And that's it. And it's without emotional reaction. Not for me, that works.
I love that. I mean, I think that's wise, first of all. That's what a wise person does, you know? It's like, I think that comes with age. Some people are just like that naturally, but, you know, not having that knee-jerk reaction to be reactive to everything.
Right.
And that's a tough thing. I mean, I think we've talked about this already, and I definitely had that propensity to be that way, and I just think I'm not nearly as bad. But I do want to say that Charlie just texted me back, and B.B. King is painted by Carl Roberts.
Does he have a website?
Probably. Carl Roberts.
Just look up Carl Roberts
Carl
Artist.
Carl Roberts, yeah. Maybe I should post that on my Instagram too.
That's great.
It's such a cool picture or painting.
So saunas. I love saunas. I love sitting in saunas. And whether to know that you have these great pieces of information that show the benefits of sauna, I just always knew. I read an article when I was in college, how saunas help your body release endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, that's a feel-good hormone.
Yeah.
Right? So right away, you're putting your body in a state of feeling good.
Yeah.
And so if you're feeling good all the time, whether it's 20, 40 minutes, do you think your whole health is going to follow if you're doing this all the time, constantly having this bombardment of feeling good?
Yeah.
Yes, of
course. For sure. I mean, I do. I know I feel so good after sauna, especially because I usually like listen to, you know, special music in there or I meditate. And so that helps as well. But this information that I just gave you is brand new. It's fairly new within the year or the last year. In 2017, I believe this paper was done on that all-cause mortality.
Great material. And if I do remember, I'll try to take niacin before I go in.
Well, I don't know that that's something you always have to.
The time, right.
Yeah, it's, you know.
But that's meant as a detox.
It is, yeah. Well, I have to actually look into it more because I don't know that it's really, before I go into it, I just remember talking with Dr. Joe DeTuro about it. And he was saying, no, that's just a response that happens when you take too much niacin. All it is the body having almost a type of histamine response to too much niacin. That's it. It's not unloading anything from the body. But
it doesn't bring the blood closer to the top level of your skin, sort of like upper dermal. I mean, you're bringing, because right, you get that flush, right? So it's bringing all your blood to your level, to the top level. What am I trying to say?
Niacin flush is the most common immediate side effect in doses 100 milligrams and above, and is harmless. It starts on your face and travels to your chest and arms. People think, oh, because I'm flushing, it must mean I'm detoxifying. And Dr. Joe used to say, no, that's no. not necessarily the case.
We'll have to find the research on that. I do know that it does bring your blood closer to the skin, so you're already sweating.
So it does something to the capillaries and the and your veins and whatnot, is what you're saying. So,
well, I do know. I had a sister who had to go through a rehab, and what they would do as part of her cleaning, mm-hmm. is have her do saunas and niacin daily.
Hmm.
As part of just kind of the clearing of the body. So whether right. or not this has a scientific basis, I don't know.
Right. Well,
we will get back to you on that one.
I know. I really want to check it out, because I also know that that's a way you can find out if you're a fast or slow oxidizer, is on how quickly you flush. On how, you know, if you flush within the first like 5 minutes, you're like a fast oxidizer. But I'll look more into it as well and see exactly what I don't know about it. I'm kind of glad that we brought this up, though, the whole detox concept, because as you know, Mark, but now our audience will know, we're working on a new program for Healthy Gut Girl, and we're just playing around with a name right now, but it's basically, the working title is called Detox It. And it is a comprehensive guide to safe and natural detoxification methods in the body. And basically what that means is it's just a whole program that lists many detoxification methods. It includes, we go by the organ, and it is liver, lung, lymph, kidneys, colon, skin. Did I say that?
Yes. Sounds good.
Liver, lung, lymph, skin, colon, kidneys.
Wow, that's complete.
Yeah.
3 and 3.
And the liver includes the gallbladder.
Ooh, 3, 3, 3, 6, and 3.
6, right. So those are your major detox organs. And so the comprehensive guide is going to outline ways to support and encourage detoxification in those organs. So I think it's going to be great, you know. I mean, I really want it to be like safe methods of detoxification, because there are some pretty extreme methods of detoxification, in my opinion, like chelation is extreme. And yes, I know it's helped many people, but IV chelation, where you go in and they administer a particular chemical that binds to certain metals in the body and then you excrete them. And, you know, I just don't. That's not going to be part of the program. I'm not a fan. I really believe that there are methods to, you know, you give your body the right amount of minerals. It's synergistic cofactors of certain minerals and metals, and you're going to excrete them. You're going to bind to those metals, and it goes back to the gut, of course. So I heard of a crazy cleanse the other day on a hike I just went on New Year's Eve, which was... And I'm going to connect with this guy, because he turned me on to this guy who, this doctor in Sweden, who probably a lot of people know who I'm talking about. I just can't remember his name off the top of my head, who specializes in detoxification. He has a clinic in Sweden, and it's like designed specifically for detox. But one of the detoxifications is to do a milk and salt enema. So you actually do like... And I'm not encouraging this, guys, because I don't know anything about it yet. So I'm just sharing it with you.
Well, I got to look that up while you're doing that.
Which is a organic fresh milk with salt, like air-dried sea salt. And which is really hard to hold a salt enema to begin with. Like, it's really difficult to just hold water and salt. So you put that in and you hold it, you retain it as long as you can. And then you release it and you go to sleep. And what it does is it brings any kind of intestinal parasites into the colon down from like small intestine or from the high part of the colon. It brings it down into the lower colon, like maybe the descending colon. And then, because, you know, you have your descending, your transverse, like a horseshoe, right? Ascending, which is the furthest away. You can't really reach that with an enema usually, unless you're gifted like me. Just kidding. That's something you want to be proud of. And then your transverse colon, which is the top part of the horseshoe, and your descending colon, which goes down to your sigmoid, which is the S-shaped part of your colon that empties into your rectum.
I remember seeing that show, Sigmoid and the Sea Monsters. Remember that? That was great.
I loved that show.
What a great, it always made my butt tickle.
Maybe because it's not sigmoid, maybe because it's Sigmund.
I love it. This isn't explicit, folks. We can actually have fun now.
They made H.R. Puffin stuff too, which I loved. Do you remember H.R. Puffin stuff?
We don't want to go off
totally
the deep end.
We're totally dating ourselves now. H.R. Puffin stuff. Who's your friend when things get tough? H.R. Puffin stuff.
Can we use that in part of our detox called H.R. Puffin stuff liver cleanse?
It does make you think, right?
Yes.
Puff and stuff.
Puff and stuff.
It's kind of, it's like Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, we got another puff.
Yeah, you're and you know in a land called Hanalei,
yeah.
Right? If you know the song,
in the land called Hanalei, I forget.
Right, it's
the
actually Hanalei, which is Hanalei Bay.
Right,
and if you sit on the beach in Hanalei and you do a little puff, you see the dragon, which is that big mountain there, and it really does look like. And I didn't even smoke to see this. It looks like the tail of a dragon.
Well, is that the idea that you're smoking puff some kind of hallucinogenic? Dragon. Like, is that you're smoking?
I thought they just meant puff the magic dragon, but magic. Oh,
yeah, but you're
magic.
Smoking something magic.
And we're back on the mushroom train.
Or you know, well, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Well, that's the Beatles.
That was the whole
Puff the Magic Dragon. Anyway, yes.
Maybe derailed. There was like secret code in here about all of these.
I mean, look, it was the late 60s.
Right.
You know, that was the time.
So how do we get people into hallucinogens without telling them about hallucinogens? Let's make up kid stories.
Right. Well, so anyway, yeah, H.R. Puff and stuff. So sigmoid colon. Right, I had to backtrack there.
Sorry, folks, for diverting.
So apparently then you get a colonic the next day after you do this milk enema. And once you get this colonic the very next day as early as possible, apparently you can see a lot of the mucosa, a lot of the mucus and the nests or whatever you want to call it, all the garbage and maybe even some parasites.
Wow, that reminds me when I was in the Amazon jungle and I was spending time with a shaman. And we were about to do our first ayahuasca journey. And we had to drink this appalling beverage called Ohe. I think it's called Ohe, yes.
Not Osha?
No, I think it was called Ohe. This is years going back, but I'm pretty sure that's the name, Ohe. And it's kind of a they tap a tree for this stuff. It comes from a tree. It's
like a sap,
exactly. Okay. And you drink this thing, and apparently it's so powerful it could burn your insides out. For the next couple of hours, every 10 minutes, we have to drink a glass of water.
Whoa.
We have to. So you're just drinking water, and continually you start getting nauseous. And
which does not sound fun.
Nauseous, but you still have to keep drinking it. And then within an hour, everyone is, I hate to tell you this, everyone is either is vomiting or crapping outside.
Wow.
And so you're all outside doing this together. It's like the first meeting with people you never met.
Bacchanalia.
And you're just out there and you see people yakking and I'm sorry and you're dumping.
But you're not tripping yet from
No. This is all a cleanse.
Okay.
Because they want to clear the parasites from your body before you're going to accept this, you know,
medicine.
Exactly. And they would go over if you go to the bathroom and take a picture. And they did with mine. And showed you the parasites that came out of the body.
No,
yes,
way.
I saw that. You see these little that came right out. So,
dude, does that freak you out? Were they little? Describe them to me, because I'll tell you what they were.
Oh man, you're talking.
Did
this
look like
20
rice,
years ago?
Or did they?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah.
Like itty bitty 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 maggots.
Yeah, it's like really small.
Right. So those are like pinworms.
From what I remember.
Yeah. And a lot of people have them. A lot of children particularly have pinworms. And
Well, I have an amazing story that goes with that, because I heard from people that had been down there before. And this was a story that was being passed around when we were down there.
Oh, sorry, I'm looking at pictures.
That somebody came down. I think I told you the story about the lady who had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So she went down there. She got diagnosed. I can't confirm this is the truth, but this is what I heard when I was down there. That a person, and a few trips prior to us coming down there, went down there because she got diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And she did not want to go through the normal route of modern medicine,
right,
doing what they
radiation.
Do, chemo, radiation, and lopping off. So she was trying this as another option. And so when she drank the Ohay, the story is that when she did, and when she went to the bathroom, it was like a mound, literally like a little mound of parasites came
out.
Wow. And so she was so eager and great when she saw that. She's like, give me another. And she took another blast at Ohay. Now, to go that route, take another blast of the stuff that just made us feel this way, mm-hmm. is brave enough.
Right. Well, she'd been suffering enough.
Right.
I'm sure she was ready for anything.
So she went through it again, same day, and then boom, another mound came out.
Just boom.
Boom, out. Well, it wasn't easy. And she was, she felt, she said, she goes, I'm clear. I feel I'm fine. I beat this thing, healed. And she went back to the States, and the story is that she told her family members and said, I'm healed, I'm done. They went, no. They doubted the whole experience. Mm-hmm. You tell me you went to the Amazon jungle, drank this brew from some shaman.
Pooped out some worms,
and now you're healed? No, no, no. Really, really, really? And just convinced her enough where she doubted it. And went through, you know, what the doctors had, you know, prescribed previously, and went through the process and had a taken off. And found out after she got checked that she did beat it. Now,
what?
Yes, that's the story. I can't confirm it's true, but that's what I heard when I was down there.
I mean, I'm sure that a version of that has happened many, many times. I'm sure. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Man, I'd hate to be the person who has to go clean up that jungle floor.
What are you talking about? It's on the grass. We're out in the jungle. It gets absorbed into the ground. Back to nature.
Yeah, but don't you have to walk out there again? Like,
I don't think it's an area where everyone walks in.
Okay, it was like a special poop jungle.
But, you know, it comes...
The latrine jungle.
But it comes out really soft and mushy, so it goes right into the earth pretty quickly.
Wow. Wowzers. Well,
so detox, yeah, puff and stuff, liver cleanse.
Right. Well, you know, I really believe in it. I just... and I know that we all have, you know, parasites. And that's something that American culture, American medicine doesn't really recognize. And I don't know if it's because they don't want to, or they don't know how to treat it properly, or I'm not sure what it is. Because Dr. Marshall always talks about this study they did with dogs, where they took all these dogs that were in a pound, like 100 of them. And they were going to be euthanized. They took these dogs, sad. This is sad, but it's true. They took these dogs and they tested them for parasitic infection. They did a whole like microbiome test on their poop, a parasitology test. And they found that, I think it was a really low number of the animals had parasites, like 10% or 15%, a low number. And then they euthanized the dogs, and then they went in and took samples of their intestinal, you know, microbiome, parasitology of the dead animal from within the animal, and something like 60%, like the number like tripled, and they almost all of, well, a large number of the dogs had parasite infections, not just visible, noticeable, or hi, there's parasites in this creature, infection in the dog. So, you know, Dr. Marshall said there was a man in New York, a famous parasitologist. I apologize for not knowing his name, but I didn't know we were going to talk about this. And he would tell Dr. Marshall, this is the same with humans. There's no reason for the parasite to excrete anything into your stool if it's thriving. Why would it excrete anything? They're looking for the parasite. They're not going to find it if the creature is thriving in the body of the person. Not only that, but people that have leaky guts, you know, these parasites can burrow out of the intestinal wall and into the peritoneum of the body. So that's between the intestines and the wall of the gut, you know, the inside of your abdomen. That's the peritoneum cavity. And they find parasite eggs like laid and in biofilms in the flesh of the peritoneum cavity, the wall of the abdomen. And I would have thought that, I mean, when I first heard this stuff, I was like, this is sounds like crazy talk. And then there was this survival show that I watched where they found a snake, this guy who was trying to survive with his wife. It was a pretty good show. He got a snake and he killed it. And he took a knife and opened the snake. And then he said to the camera, he said, you have to be, he was like some kind of special forces type guy. And he's like, you have to be very, very careful when you eat anything in the jungle, because almost everything is infested. So he peels open the flesh of this snake and takes its guts out and shows you the flesh of the snake. And you could see in the flesh, just like they described with the way it happens in a human, inside the flesh, little biofilms with the parasite rolled up inside of the skin.
Wow.
He's like, that is a parasite.
Wow.
I mean, so freaking fascinating and so hideously disgusting at the same time, like nightmare, right? Nightmarish. So the long and the short of that is that, you know, I've talked about this before where I say, this is why I don't like parasite cleanses. Because what happens in most people, unless you're under the care of a practitioner who is going to take you through that 6 months or to a year of healing, and instead of just giving you a box of something you ordered online or something he's giving you, she's giving you to take for 6 weeks and then they're done with you. This is a process, especially if you have an infection, that takes time to get rid of, because you'll have secondary infections because of that parasite. You'll have multiple amoebas. You'll have all sorts of things. So what happens is they take these parasite herbs. The parasites completely go into 911 response, because a lot like our bacteria in our system, when you take something, they can sense that it's being ingested. They don't have to come in contact with it. They just know because of the chemical messages that are being sent through the body. Kind of like when you look at a lemon and your mouth gets watery. It's like it's a intuitive, innate reaction that when you're taking something like wormwood or black walnut husk or whatever it is for parasite infections, the body kind of has this message and it sends this response to the gut. And these, I'm not saying it's a good response or bad response. It happens when you eat anything. The body goes, okay, you're about to have some scrambled eggs. We need this much pepsin and this much hydrochloric acid. And it sends these chemical messages to the enteric nervous system and the brain, and then digestion takes place. So it's not like, watch out down there, here comes the parasite herbs. It's not like that. So the parasites go, oh shit, here comes the gangbusters. So they go into this response and they reproduce rapidly. So they have lots more eggs planted in your peritoneum and on your organs. I mean, these things can be, oh, did you hear about the guy in North Korea, the defector?
He had a lot of parasites.
He was like, apparently they forced them to eat. This is getting really gross. Yeah, they forced them to eat like human feces and dog feces and stuff. I don't know. I have to read the whole story, but I couldn't because it was so gross. And they purposefully want them to be infested for some reason. And then he defected. They have it on camera. You could see him. He's like reruns. And they catch him. And they take him. I mean, they don't catch him back in North Korea. They get him on the other side.
They defecated a defector, folks.
Now that is hardcore.
So these parasites then go into
infested.
So they go into this hyper survival mode and start just doing whatever they can to protect the species.
Right. And so then you take these herbs and they kill the adult parasites that are in your, and I'm talking about specific intestinal parasites. I'm not talking like amoeba that live in your wisdom tooth cavitations and where parasites can live in dental infection and crap like that. So gross. I'm talking about intestinal parasites. So they sense these herbs, they get doused with these herbs, and all the adults die. And then, yeah, you pass them and you're like, oh my God, I had a colonic and you wouldn't believe, you know, and all this mucus and these worms, whatever. And you feel like you're all better again. And then 6 months down the line, guess who's making an appointment with me? Because I seem to get these really difficult cases where they don't know what else to do. And then they hear these messages where I say, don't do those kinds of cleanses unless you are with someone who has an incredible, you know, record with helping people heal themselves of these things. And because then 6 months down the line or whatever, I don't know how long, 6 weeks down the line, a full moon comes along and these things hatch. And now you've got this like extra infestation and you're like, oh my God, my symptoms are back and I'm so much worse. Yeah, the end.
Interesting.
Interesting, right? So on the note about the, I think I might interview this guy.
Now, what can we do to avoid having parasites in our body? What kind of creates parasites? Why are we getting them? Or is that from uncleansed food?
I know you know the answer to this.
Not organic?
Let's do it this way. What protects you from foreign invaders in the gut?
Really?
HCL.
Your tried and true HCL. You always go back to that.
Yeah, so that's what protects. This is why.
Okay, so what? Okay,
when you think of HCL, think disinfector.
Okay, I gotcha. So that's what you do to your body, protect it from
one of the things.
But I'm trying to find out what's the source of getting parasites. How is that happening? Just happens from fertilizer because it comes.
Yeah. Well, things like pinworms, things like roundworms, those come from, you know, there's a large liver flukes. Those are in part, largely in part transferred by fecal transfer, meaning you had to ingest some fecal matter somehow. Now, people right away think, that's disgusting, never me. But they reckon that most of the ways people get this fecal transfer is from eating out. So people, restaurant, you know, cooks, chefs, not washing their hands after they go to the bathroom, or just one person not washing their hands, making some kind of weird mess in the bathroom, and then another person goes in there to use the bathroom, and then it just gets transferred like that. And you go to rub your nose, you go to, you know, you're cooking, and then you eat that salad that they tossed
the doorknob on the bathroom.
All that stuff. That's why they say the toilet seat itself is not really the dirtiest place in the bathroom. It's the doorknobs and the handles.
When I'm at the bathroom at the restaurant, take towel, dry my hands, take that same towel, open the door, hold it with my foot, throw it in the garbage can and walk out.
I just put on my hazmat suit and go in.
And then take a bottle of HCL.
Yeah, so that's the big thing is, so there's other places that you can get parasites from, and that's, drinking water out of the Ganges and, you know, going to the Amazon and swimming in the rivers. And what I'm trying to say is that going out of your natural habitat, your natural environment, and introducing your gut, your microbiome, not just your gut, but the microbiome on your skin as well, all the bacteria that you, all the microorganisms that you harbor, you go outside of your own bubble of your home and your work and your beach and your where you live here, and you go someplace like, it can be London or it can be, you know, someplace in India. It doesn't have to be, it can be anywhere outside of your own micro bubble. And introduce your body, your microbiome, to new pathogens, new good guys and bad guys. Now, if you have a compromised gut already, if you go there and already you've got gut issues, you're going to become vulnerable and make yourself susceptible to pathogens like that. And that's just life.
I went to Spain with a friend of mine. Since we're, you know, I like bringing up anecdotes. We went a long, long time ago. We went for a couple of, I think about a week and a half. And the second day we were there, she caught some kind of a bug, and she was out pretty much the whole trip. I was by myself in Spain, in Madrid. She started coming back to life when we hit the south of Spain. But she was in the hotel room. She was on the bowl the whole time.
Oh, that sounds like Giardia. Yeah. Well, it's really common. And in fact, this homeopath that I saw in the UK that I've mentioned in our podcast before, Dr. Jacobs, he was incredible. Wacky dude, man. Really interesting guy. Something right out of Monty Python, like amazing. Thank you to Gemma and Sam for introducing me to him, because as wacky as he is, I am certain that was the missing link in my dealing with some viral stuff that I have been dealing with my whole life. Anyway, he said that he had this amazing machine from Poland that basically measures, it's kind of like a biomeridian where it measures the different vibrations in all of your meridians, your acupuncture meridians, you know, the energetic lines that run through your body, and it looks for deficiency. And that's just the layman's way of explaining that. I'm sure I could go into more detail and still not explain exactly how this damn thing works. But suffice it to say, it can give you a printout of basically the things that you might be suffering from. It's not a diagnosis. They're just saying, this particular gallbladder meridian is vibrating not at its where it's supposed to be. It's vibrating at this point, which can be indicative of this particular imbalance or disease or illness. And he said that everyone he sees, everybody he sees, he didn't say 100% but close, has Giardia. He said it's in the water. It's in the drinking water, and it's impossible to avoid. And I've never had, I did have food poisoning and similar to what you just described. I think we all have a story like your friends where you go on a trip and your whole trip is ruined because you're sick. But I was modeling in Taiwan of all places. I was there for a few months and I was eating street food, which they warned us against. But I am such a sucker. If I'm hungry and something smells good and there's a line and everybody looks normal, I'm in it.
Yeah, you got to figure that's how you go. That's exactly. Your barometer.
And it was like $1.50 probably for this like omelet type. A huge mistake eating eggs because it probably wasn't even the egg. I bet you no one else got sick on that particular batch of egg mix, crepe mix, whatever. But my microbiome was already compromised and I was in a place I, you know, and eggs are, as we know, I mean, you know, they're used.
That's like the high risk item. If you want to go in another country eat food, eggs are the higher risk.
Yeah. Stick to the processed food when you go and take your HCL. I didn't even know about HCL then. I had to be carried to the Red Cross. I was so sick because I was kind of there illegally. We weren't allowed to be modeling there. They didn't have that. We just wake her up. They, Dita von Tickles. Oh, she woke up. She's responding to her German name.
I didn't know she was on. I moved my foot and I felt something on my sneaker.
Oh.
And it's her head going.
It's just, the cuteness is absurd. She definitely likes men more, I think, which I can't blame her for that. So anyway.
So did Kika.
She was a girl's dog. She liked you because you were one of her first boyfriends, but she was a girl's dog. Yeah. She liked to wear makeup and costumes and hang out with
the
ladies.
I loved Kika. She was my girlfriend.
Everybody loved Kika.
Had a better relationship with Kika than... No, forget it. Sorry.
I digress. Anyway, I got really sick and got better, but... Once you get something, I don't know what I got. I think it was salmonella because they didn't speak any English and I spoke very, very, very little Chinese. And I, you know, had to take like this many pills every day, little baggies of pills every day for like 12 days or something. And was totally better. In a matter of, you know, like 12 hours, I was already feeling like I could walk myself, you know. But Dr. Marshall used to say, once you're exposed to something that... I don't want to say severe, that different from what you're used to being exposed to. When you're that sick, you know, you're forever that way. Like, you're going to deal with that forever. Now, a medical doctor or a conventional scientist is not going to agree with that. They're going to say, no, once it's gone, it's gone. But Dr. Marshall was adamant. He's like, once you have been compromised by particular pathogens, you're going to battle with that for the rest of your life. And Dr. Jacobs said the same thing. And he said, you know, but he believed you could combat them with certain homeopathics, which, you know, I took. I never had, I didn't, after that, I never had more gut issues. But anyway, going back to the poop, the little pinworms in the poop, you know, they're so common. You see them in kids all the time. You see them, you know, your dogs have them. Puppies are born with them. They get them from their mother usually. So, you know, you have to be cognizant of that and keep things very hygienic. It's tough with a puppy.
Well, see, because... now, yeah, because the puppy starts licking your face like your dog just did mine.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that how that spread?
Right. Well, I think mostly with the licking because she's – I bet it's more about sleeping with the animal because I think it's when the animal defecates and steps on it and it steps on your bed or, you know, you step on it in the house, you walk on it outside. These things can, I think hookworms are the worm that can travel up through the foot, through your bare foot. They're very tiny and they travel up through your foot, get into your circulation, and now you've got them in your system. So it's very creepy and gross, but the idea is that, you know, you have a high hydrochloric acid production in the gut, you eat high quality food, you detoxify frequently, you do these kinds of things like this detoxit program that we're going to launch soon that is going to be reasonable and affordable, where you can have that on hand anytime you feel like, wow, I'm having some kidney pain, I'm having some lower back pain, I feel like I'm getting those kidney stones again, or I feel like I'm getting a bout of gout, or whatever, oh my God, my migraines are back, whatever it is, you can go to that detoxification program and say, look it up by organ. All right, we're going to look at the lymph, and we're going to see how do you detoxify the lymph. And I'm going to have multiple ways on how to detox, videos and PDFs on how to detoxify that particular organ or gland.
Now, would you say that most people could use a detox? I mean, you should do some sort of a test first before you know? I mean,
I don't think children do. I mean,
unless they're getting sick all the time, right? Or having problems or a lot of allergic reactions. I mean, what would be like I'm trying to find out just for my curiosity's sake. If you're, you know, you think you're a fairly healthy person, I mean, like myself, how would I know I need a detox? Well, I mean, I did have a lot of metal fillings in my mouth at one point. Mm-hmm. I had those removed, but, you know, or who would this course be directed towards?
Well, I think we kind of touched on it a couple of podcasts ago on Venice Beach Banter. We were talking about...
We never launched that one.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, you did.
I launched
that's
it.
That's right, she did.
He didn't want me to because of all the sound issues, but I'm like, what the heck?
My mic wasn't on.
Oh, right. But we could it's not important because we don't need to hear you.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I'm sorry, who are you? So, anyway. Am I?
No, me.
Oh, that's because you're from Long Island, and people from Long Island talk very loud. So here's what I think. We talked about it in Venice Beach Banter, which is that, you know, if you live in a big city, if you have high stress levels, if you're on medication, if you – any medication, even the birth control pill or Mirena Coil or whatever, God knows, if you don't eat organic – if you drink tap water, if you bathe in tap water, if you live in a big city with lots of traffic, there's all these toxicity, there's all these ways to be toxified. There's all these ways to be become toxic. And it's fine. The human body, you could go your whole life and never do a detox or a cleanse, and it's fine. It's fine. But the body has its own mechanisms. It's got its own ways of detoxifying itself. It's got, you know, the liver has phase one and phase two liver detox. That's literally what it's called, and that's what it does a few times a day. And it goes into these phases of detoxification. That's their job. Your colon detoxifies itself, hopefully, at least twice a day, once in the morning, where it cleans out the spleen's contents, which is a bunch of dead blood, dead cells in the body that get filtered out through the spleen and then dumped into the colon. And then that first morning poo is usually all this dead blood. It's like, also it's probably what you ate the day before, but that is what that particular detoxification process is in the morning. And then when your eyes tear, when you sweat, when you have boogers, when you have earwax, all this stuff, when, you know, you clean this stuff out, you look at it, it's your body getting rid of toxicity. So when you have this toxic burden that we all have, where we are overburdened with toxicity, it's nice that we can rely upon ways to encourage safely detoxification. And that's what the program is. So to answer your question, who's it for? I think just about anybody. I say I don't think children need detoxification, but I'm saying that as a disclaimer because I don't want to encourage you to detoxify your child or a pregnant woman or an infant. But if it were my kid, you better believe it. You better believe I'd be doing some detoxification. But I'm not going to share that information on what I would do because I don't want to encourage that for people. I have with children whose clients I've worked with and such. But one thing you can do with kids is the mud packing, the mud therapy, where you take the mud and you put it on interference fields and toxic focal points. You know, if a child gets a boil or some cystic acne or they break a bone or something like that. This is a vaccination. This is a very safe way to encourage the body to normalize in that area. And that's safe, and I don't mind sharing that. But all that stuff will be in this program. What do you think of that?
I certainly look forward to it.
I know, so do I, because I don't even have this stuff in a cohesive form for myself. So when I want to do something, I got to go flipping through my notes and everything. But now I'm going to have this nice, cohesive program where I can rely on and be like, you know what? This week I think I'm going to detoxify my kidneys.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I have to help you make it.
Yes, you're going to do. Yes. You're going to do a lot of that work. As soon as I'm completely finished. And infrared saunas are on that list.
Which makes it hard if you don't have one.
Yeah.
But, you know, how about, can you, if you don't have an infrared sauna available, a good dry sauna is fine,
yeah,
right?
I would look into using a dry or wet sauna. You don't want to use a wet sauna where they use tap water, you know, which most do, so I wouldn't even.
Well, that you when you say wet sauna, I just think steam room.
Yeah, yeah, right, steam room, yeah. But, and then the dry sauna, oh, wait a second, I think, no. That's a good question, wet sauna. Because maybe wet sauna just means the one with the rocks where you pour water over it.
Well, most saunas are dry until you just pour some water on it. And
well,
you're not doing it, you're not doing it all the time.
A lot of saunas don't have that.
It's just, you're just doing it temporarily because the steam makes it hotter for a really, for a short burst.
Yeah, but I don't think all saunas have that those rocks, do they?
Well, I've been in saunas where it's dry. You go to a, let's say like a YMCA.
No, here it is.
And
wet
we'll
saunas,
just put a little water
steam
in the back. Yeah, okay.
Wet saunas are steam rooms.
Okay, there you go. So it's a steam room. There's dry yeah. sauna and steam rooms. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then
no wet sauna.
Well, no, wet
well, a dry sauna.
Sauna
becomes a wet sauna when you put water on
no,
the rocks.
No, wet sauna, also known as a steam sauna or steam room.
They so. Call wet sauna a steam room. Okay,
and
there you go.
And a steam sauna. Anyway, so what do I suggest? I suggest
that would
you
be a great name for an
your
artist, steam sauna. Ladies and gentlemen, steam sauna tonight. Yes, here you go.
Stripper name.
Song.
I think you said artist.
Yes.
And I'm like, stripper name.
I'm thinking singer.
Well, here you go. You can go to the Y and join your local Y. Those have reasonable rates for monthly memberships, and they almost always have saunas and steam baths and pools and jacuzzis. And they, I know ours in Santa Monica does a
no, salt
UV,
water. Yeah.
No, oh. They do a UV disinfected pool. So it has a little chlorine in it, but mostly it's UV disinfected. It used to be ozone, which I preferred because you could smell it and it just seemed cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so or you can get online and you can look for local infrared saunas. You can make your own infrared sauna. There's kits online, and I don't mean like a big wooden room or a big wooden cabana. I mean like these like burlap sacks, almost like a...
You're thinking like a
come on, on tip of my tongue.
Yeah, they do it. They do it in the desert.
What the heck? I've done many of them.
Hot
pocket. Let's just go with hot pocket.
Oh no!
So it's like a
I was
hot pocket
about earlier,
where
yes.
these burlap sacks, kind of like in a tent, and you sit in it and you
hallucinate. Literally, that's what they
no,
do
you,
in these.
You sauna. But these ones, you don't have the hot rocks in the middle. You have, what's wrong with my brain right now? You can buy the infrared heat lamps, which mm-hmm. are very inexpensive. And you put them inside this little tent that you can put in your home. And it's portable, it's mobile, it's really easy to move around and put away when you're not using it. And that is a really nice way to infrared because it's very, very affordable. And man, it's driving me. I'm trying to pretend like I'm not thinking about it. You know when you forget the word?
I'm still
thinking
about it.
And I'm acting like I don't know. I could see it in your eyes. And you act like you don't know. Everyone's listening right now, shouting out the word as we speak.
Oh, come on. What's the name of it?
Charlie and I did one. Well, I've done a few, but Charlie and I did one together in Tulum. And did I already tell this story on one of our podcasts?
I think you tell me. No, you did tell me
on the podcast though.
Yes, I think you almost passed out. I think we had to
That always happens. No, Charlie got first of all, we were in the sun all day and got completely burned. It was so crazy how dark, how burned we got, and especially him. And so we get in the sauna, and it was, it's such a good story. I just don't know if I should tell the whole thing because I feel like I'm being redundant.
Well, our listeners are going, well, finish the story, goddammit.
Story. Okay. So we're there. It's like, I think it's his birthday, and it's a full moon, and we're going to do this ceremony. And this Indian man, this Aztec, I think, Mayan, he was Aztec. He was going to perform the Sweat Lodge.
Sweat Lodge. Thank you.
Oh. I can't believe you're still looking.
I'm like Indian, hot, saunas, desert.
So much for tag words.
Maybe we are getting a little tired here.
I know. So anyway, we decide we're going to do this. And I'm thinking, you know what? We're at a resort. It wasn't a resort. It was a cute, tiny little, very modest place where you have these rooms and it's called Coco Tulum. It's really cool. It's like you don't even have your own bathroom. It's like a public restroom, but it's really well done. It's like glamping. You know, you're like camping, but it's kind of glamorous. And so we do the sweat lodge. And I thought, this is a resort. It's not going to be a real sweat lodge. Like, there's no way. Because real sweat lodges can take hours depending on how many people are in there. Mm-hmm. And what kind of shaman you have. If they're singing, you know, how many prayers they're doing. And how many, if people are speaking out loud. Or if it matters. It's a big, it can be very, very lengthy. And so those of you that don't know about the sweat lodges, basically in the front, almost for half a day or several hours, you've got a pit in the front or a wood-burning oven, and you've got these stones inside the oven. And inside the hut, which is usually made of like a tent, but then they cover it with sarapes or these like blankets that you get in Mexico, or, you know, just heavy burlappy type of blankets. And this place was built. It was a little sweat lodge that was built, not a permanent sweat lodge. Anyway, you go in, you sit around in a circle. There's a hole in the middle, and not to go into too much detail, but every time you pray to a particular direction, it's from the Native American or Central American culture, where you pray to every direction. North, south, east, west, mother sky, father earth. They all have different ways of doing it, but basically that's the idea. And each time you pray to a different direction, you add a stone into the middle of that hole in the sweat lodge, and then you pour water over it, and then it steams and fills up the thing with steam. And so you can imagine the first few directions are pretty tolerable. And then after you've added all these stones, and then you're doing this, like, I mean, it's... You feel like a lobster being steamed. You just feel like you know what it's like to be cooked, you know? And you're trying to meditate and pray and do and sing or whatever it is your particular shaman is doing. And I was dying. I was dying. I mean, literally, I thought I was dying. And I was able to make it through the whole thing. But then he finished. A lot of people left. There was only like four of us out of like 12. And it was mostly men that left, which I can understand that because men, their body temperatures get so high so fast. Like it's intolerable for some people. So they get out. We're done. I'm so relieved. I couldn't believe I made it through it. And then the shaman is like, for those of you that want to leave, you're welcome to leave. But now, since it's a full moon, we're going to do the male version of it. That was the female version. Now we're going to, just to complete the yin-yang sort of thing, these are my own words, we're going to do a whole holistic, complete version and do the male side. Charlie and I looked at each other like sheer panic in our eyes.
Just when you thought it was over.
Yeah, like we were, but it was also like a bit of a challenge too, you know?
Like, so, all right.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sit right on the edge, the doorway, for me to leave if I need to. And Charlie's going to go, he's going to go for it. He was the only man left in there besides the shaman, so he's like, he's going to go for it. I'm like, all right. So anyway, we made it. We get out. We go to the water. It was so beautiful. The full moon was out. We get to the water. This guy's blowing this conch shell. It was like epic, you know? And we all jump into the ocean, and it's like really late at night. And it's beautiful. And then we get back to the room, and all I can think about is pizza. I'm like dying for pizza. But then they had a little pizza restaurant, so I have to order pizza. And Charlie's laying on the bed like dead. And I come out of the bathroom, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to order some pizza. What do you want? And he's like, I don't care. He couldn't even speak. So I go over to him. He goes, look. And he opens his towel, and his chest is covered with hundreds of thousands of little water blisters. Like,
oh, wow.
Like just these little tiny water blisters.
He boiled his skin.
Because he was burned. So his skin was dead, and the moisture got under the skin and created this just horrible, like, it was literally like a grit, like bubble wrap, but miniature bubble wrap on his entire chest.
Wow.
I died laughing and felt so bad all at the same time. Like, do you want me to stay here and pop them for you?
Get little pins and just each one.
Oh, it was so crazy. I felt so bad.
Wow.
Anyway, you know, people die in those things. So we're lucky that's all we escaped.
It was that big, you know, the guy from The Secret. He was doing his own, what he was taking people on retreats, and somebody died. He's like, no, don't leave. This is where you get the, you know, the effect, the full effect of this, the hallucinations or that connection. Right. And somebody died. I don't know if he forced him, but I think he did some time.
Really?
I think so. I think he got convicted, unfortunately.
Cause I bet that's his new secret.
That's unfortunate. I mean.
Well, I think that, you know, you have to be responsible for yourself, your own actions and stuff. And it's an extreme let me put it this way. It's not in our detox it program.
But, yes, right. But that's just an example of going to the extreme of what saunas do. I think that is the kind of the light version. Mm-hmm. You kind of, I think that's why I like sauna so much. If I stay in there as long as I can, I start getting a little lightheaded.
You challenge yourself.
I challenge myself, and I'm walking. I'm like, I get to the door. I might take a breath, open, and come back in. Mm-hmm. But there's a point where I'm like, if I stay in here any longer, I'm going to hit the ground.
Yeah. Well, I think that goes beyond that heat shock protein point where it's no longer beneficial. Especially, you know, we're talking about this, and I just want to say all this information is educational. We're not encouraging anybody to do any of this. We're just sharing information that we have and experienced. And if you have heart conditions, if you have major health problems, you know, and you're going to do a sauna, get some advice before you do it, because these things can, you know, they can kill you. Like, if you're not careful, you can die. You know, you have to be careful. But and you can get water blisters all over your body. Poor Charlie. It was such a experience. And we're like, what are we doing? Why are we torturing ourselves like this? But I have had a few sweat lodges where I've had full-on visions, like full-blown visions, like unbelievable, you know, where I did pass out and have like visions. And
I think that's what you're doing. You're getting to yourself to the point of just like, it's like feeling a mini death. I mean, that's exactly, and that's what they said, a certain thing about certain hallucinogens.
Right, we talked about that with our mushrooms and antidepressants thing, where I said, I can't do that, but yet I can get into a sweat lodge and have that experience. I'm still afraid, but I know that once I walk out of the sauna, if I walk out, that I'm going to be okay. Where, you know, when you do mushrooms, you have no control over when that ends or, you know, doesn't. And so that's what worries me. Whereas sauna, it's like, you know what? If I'm not okay here, I can just walk out of here. It's not a problem. Although you've got to trample over everyone in the circle.
Yeah, you have free will in the moment. But once you ingest.
That's it. Yeah. There's no turning back.
You're in for the journey.
Even if you make yourself puke, it's already in your system.
Yeah.
So don't ask how I know that. But it's cool. We talk about, this comes up quite a bit, doesn't it? The whole concept of pushing yourself to a point where you have either a spiritual experience or you have some kind of cathartic experience where it's beneficial to your life. And I do have those, you know, I see this, I used to see this energy guy, Peter Evans, who I highly recommend for anyone who's into energy healing, because he does his own version of, you've seen Peter.
A long time ago, I did.
Yeah. He's a really fascinating guy. But one of the ways that he works with you is he does this breathing technique. And the breathing technique can really make you pass out. But it's not a regular type of passing out. It's a different type of state of mind that happens with this breathing. And I mean, that, wow. Like, that was something. I really felt like I broke through some stuff that maybe isn't even from this life. Like, it was incredible. And you go into this headspace of not even feeling like you're human. You don't even feel like a, you just don't, you don't even know what you are. I'm getting deep and way off the rails here, but it's my experience, like so many people have these mushroom trips and things that I, you know, I can't relate to that because I'm always in sheer panic. But when I have, you know, when I do this energy work or when I do Sweat Lodge or whatever, I've had those experiences for sure, which I don't think I'll do again in this lifetime. I don't feel like I need to torture myself anymore.
Well, I wouldn't think of it as torture. I think of it as an experience that you're doing. You're pushing yourself to experience something else. Yeah, we say pass out as lack of a better word. It's just kind of, it's more like reaching the pinnacle of your consciousness, something like that.
Yeah.
And then something else just takes over, whether it's you've released your ego. I think that might be it. It's like an ego dissolving experience because you're no longer sort of in control. Like you're not reacting to the fear because fear then makes you want to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So when that's over, you've relinquished your ego into something else. And I think that's what actually mushrooms, these are ego dissolving substances that when it does do that, you experience some phenomenal, you know, as Paul Stamets from Joe Rogan talks about that. He gets more into it than I can. If you want to reference, I would suggest hearing his podcast on that. But I wouldn't decry that experience if it came up again. Like, you know, Charlie, just don't do it to the blisters, you know.
That's, we didn't know he was going to get blisters. He did great. He really benefited from it, and he was blown away. But we both were like, okay, I just don't think, you know.
That's one thing about your infrared sauna I always wish, because I've been in there a few times, and I've always been like, oh, come on, get hotter. But it doesn't go. It doesn't go past, I think, 105 or 110.
No. It goes 110? To like 156 or something.
See, when I go down to the
Fahrenheit,
when I go to the sauna downtown, the Russian spa, it's like 190. So, I mean, I'm always trying to get to that.
Well, even though this does go to 156, it doesn't actually get to 156. It stops at like 132 or 133. And it could be just because we're in the garage and it's outside. When it was in the marina and we had it inside our spare bedroom, it seemed to get hotter.
Well, then you're not. People aren't really. The company doesn't want this being used for visions. You know, Vision Quest. So they don't want people getting to the near point of pass now, because I could see the lawsuits.
The lawsuits flowing in. That. Well, there you go. That's all about the sauna. You don't have to do it until you see God, but you should definitely do it for at least 20 minutes. At least to receive the benefits of the
endorphin rush.
Well, to receive the benefits of lower chance of Alzheimer's and lower chance of all-cause mortality, it would be 20 minutes at least. Mm. And up to 2 to 3 times a week for a 24% reduction, or up to 4 to 7 times a week for a 40% reduction. You know, now I'm going to be doing the sauna every other day because I don't want to get Alzheimer's.
Yeah, God, I hope our listeners just got that information, went, wow, something as simple as just going to saunas, I'm going to start using my gym sauna more often.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great way to start the new year.
So. I think it
is. Yeah, right. That's really good. Anything else, Kat?
I mean, you know, I can always talk about all sorts, but I think that's it for now.
That makes this podcast a first podcast in the new and BB Studios, BB King Studios.
The new King Studios. New King Studios in Dogtown. Actually, this isn't Dogtown. This is just Venice.
No.
This is Oakwood, the Oakwood Triangle. and the lower large intestine. This podcast was brought to you by Health IQ, the life insurance company that helps health conscious people get lower rates on their life insurance. So make sure you go to healthiq.com/stuff and support the show and see if you qualify. Take that test and let us know how healthy you actually are, because I want to know what your health IQ is. I'm so curious. It's such a competitive. I'm like, I'm healthy. Test me. And I'm like, oh, God, what is that question? Is that purple carrot or what is that? I don't know the answer to that question.
Right, sure, sure.
It's tough. It makes you feel like you need to step up your game.
You did get that question wrong. I got that one right.
I said, I don't know. Orange.
Shoot, I hope we just didn't give away an answer. I'm not going to say it.
Don't say it.
Yes, gotcha.
But then that, and I also want to mention to everyone that in regards to this detox program that will be available very soon on healthyguckgirl.com, Also, the products that I recommend, which are the Premier Research Labs products, I talk about the HCL all the time. Mm-hmm. Also, the coffee enemas. Premier Research Labs has a coffee. They all a really high quality coffee that's perfect for coffee enemas. It's good for drinking too, but it's particularly perfect for enemas. They have a good disposable enema kit. If you just want to try it and not spend $50 on a stainless steel kit, you can get one of these kits. And you can buy it as a kit. So you can buy the coffee and the little kit, the bucket together. And that's nice. And there's also the castor oil packs. And it comes with the cotton flannels, the castor oil, everything you need to do castor packs. So Premier Research Labs has all of this stuff that's going to be on the Detoxit, which are all these different modes of detoxification. And we're going to use these products. So if you want to get an account, because they only sell to practitioners, then you need to set up an account through me, which is totally free to do. You just have to go to healthyguckgirl.com and click on the shop page. And on the shop page, you'll see Premier Research Labs is the first banner. You click on there and you send in the form to me. And you'll get a link that shows you your new account. That's that simple. And you'll get the lowest rates that they have. And this year, we're supposed to be getting some coupon codes too, which will be great because then we get discounts. So that's good to know. And follow me on HealthyGutGirl_ on Instagram. Check out my new website because it's real pretty again. I just got it redid, and that's HealthyGutGirl.com. And join the Estrogen Dominance Support Group on Facebook. Leave us a really nice comment. Leave us some good information, some good constructive criticism, if you will, on iTunes. And thank you for listening.
All right, everyone.
All right, sauna away. Yay!